afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip. We're glad you've been able to join us this afternoon. Shooting From the Hip is brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We have a variety of programs available for those who are just getting started with firearms, maybe never even handled one before, might even be a little apprehensive. Our First Shots program is a great way to get past that and to find out the basic fundamentals of safely and accurately shooting a firearm. We also have several other classes through basic handgun, concealed carry, and a five-course advanced handgun series, as well as tactical rifle, and we can also do private lessons for pretty much anything that you need. So if you'd like more information about that, you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com. That's sim-trainer.com. And find out more about the programs that we have available. You can also call the range at 293-3914, and we'll be able to answer any questions that you have there as well. If you're interested in calling the show today, we'd love to have you do that. The number here into the studio is 457-1290. 457-1290 will get you up on the board, and we will take your comments and questions. If you have something that has been maybe nagging in the back of your mind, something you wanted to ask someone about firearms, or how do you get started, or how do you select or choose or handle or do something in particular with shooting in the shooting sports in general, we'll be glad to try to answer that question for you today. Jeff is not in the studio today, unfortunately. He had a family emergency, and we're lifting his family in prayer, hoping that all goes well with that as well. So if you have a moment, you can do that. We'd certainly appreciate your support as well. We are kind of a family around here. Those who join down at the range, those who come and participate in the Tuesday Night Training League, and those who come take our classes, we all feel really close to. It's very much like a family in a lot of ways. And when somebody is having a challenge, we try to stand behind them. And we've heard some. This has been a very tough week in a lot of ways for a lot of people. And we're just glad to be moving through it one day at a time. If you have something that you would like to bring up, I have a whole pile of things until I walked in the door, and then suddenly it's just sort of been kind of an unusual sort of start for the show. But if you have something that you would like to that you'd like to discuss in particular, please feel free to call the studio at 457-1290. As you may have heard on the news, I've heard it through several of the news segments this afternoon. This is the first year since the Aurora shooting. That night was a terrible night. It was a man decided to go in and do something evil and get some attention for himself, and many people were shot and killed, many more injured. And as is often the case when a situation like that occurs, those who would oppose your right to keep and bear arms, those who don't really think that citizens should have firearms at all, take every advantage of it. There was a tremendous push at the time. And then, of course, there was the tragedy at Sandy Hook, where the pressure to make more controls, more what they call reasonable restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms was emphasized. As it happens, there is an event at the Green today. This was announced by Mayor Bloomberg's group, the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which I think probably might be more accurately named Mayors Advocating Idiocy in Government, but that's just my opinion. And this rally there's one at the Green today. It's starting, in fact, just about the same time as this show, and obviously we're not there, but if you are and you're listening to the show, maybe you're dialing in on your phone, or you have a radio with you and you're hearing what's going on, and you'd like to call into the show, we would like to know what's going on over there. Get some first-person report from the scene. How many people showed up? How many people showed up on the other side to say, you know, maybe if that theater had not posted signs on the door saying you are not allowed law-abiding citizens to carry firearms in this place, perhaps that whole thing might not have happened. He went past three other theaters that did not have such signs. That is the one theater in Aurora, Colorado, that has signs on the door that prohibit the carry of firearms by law-abiding citizens. And maybe there are those who are out there saying, you know, this is the reason why he chose that place. We don't know that yet. I don't know that he's even been, he certainly has filed the not guilty by reason of insanity as his defense. I think that that's probably, you would have to be insane in order to pull a stunt like he did. But that's because I think like a rational person, and I'm not, I don't have an intent to do evil. And those people who would, they will do what they're going to do. And sometimes there are things that cannot be prevented. We can do all we want to try to find out in advance what's going to happen. And we have been unbelievably successful since 9/11 in preventing bad things from happening. We have heard just a few instances of things. And frankly, I don't want to know what that has been stopped, because I don't think that helps us to know that. But we know that there have been many things stopped, and we have been working very hard to do that. They only have to be successful one time in order to make their point. Those of us who would stop bad things from happening have to be successful every single time if we hope to prevent it. And as we have seen, it's not possible to prevent every bad thing from happening. Sometimes those bad things get started, and the only way to end them is to stop them. The most effective way to stop them is to have someone on scene at the moment who has been trained, is prepared, and is willing and is equipped to do what is necessary to stop the bad thing from happening at the moment that it occurs. There was a lot of stories that came out. There were a lot of reports that came out 1 year ago tonight at the Aurora, Colorado theater. And what had happened was, some of the reports that came out said he was wearing body armor. They said, well, many things that were not true, as it was turned out later. Because of some of the initial erroneous reports, a lot of people believed that even if somebody had been there, there wouldn't have been anything they could do, because he would have been impervious to being shot. Well, number one, that wouldn't be true even if he was wearing body armor. But number two, had there been no signs on the door, there's a pretty good chance he may not have been there in the first place, because he was looking for a soft target. I think it's something that a lot of people don't realize, that criminals are looking for the easiest way for them to accomplish their objective. A soft target is much easier. They're looking for easy prey. They're not interested in being opposed and being stopped. They don't want to die today. They fear the citizen with a firearm far more than they fear the police, because they know the police have to follow certain kinds of rules that the law-abiding citizen doesn't necessarily have to follow, because they're not trying to enforce the law. All they're trying to do is defend themselves. Here we have another situation. Just this last week, it was after our show was over, that later that evening, the decision came out about the Trayvon Martin case. And there's been an awful lot of talk about that over the last week. I avoided discussing it too much last week because the jury had not yet spoken. They have now spoken, and I think that there's been, unfortunately, too many people that are taking that and saying either that the jury was wrong and that he should have been convicted of something, or that they're saying that this was some other kind of a problem and it shows that we have a huge race problem in this country. President Obama was on in a surprise news conference yesterday and made several remarks. I posted a link on our Facebook page, which, by the way, if you're not following our Facebook page, I'd encourage you to go out there and do that, and you can comment there as well. It's facebook.com/simtrainer, or you can get to it from our radio show page at sim-trainer.com/radio, and there's a link to our Facebook page there. But Mark Alexander, who is the editor of the Patriot Post, it's an online news and commentary. It's actually a pretty good publication. If you aren't receiving that, I strongly recommend that you sign up for it. I think that that's, it's a great way to get some other information. One of the things that we did last night is we sent out a note to folks and said, hey, show up there at the green and tell us what's going on. So actually, we do have somebody who's called in. Let's go out to the phone and talk to Tony, who's calling in from the green. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, this is Tony. Hey, we're up here at the green. We've got about 11 people here, and we can't find any of these guys from Bloomberg's group here. We've walked around the whole green. We've asked a few people and everything, and we can't find these guys at all.
Did you where exactly are you at the green? I mean, there's
we are,
obviously a lot
right
of area.
We're right at the corner of Glengarry and Plum, which is right next to the Sunglass Hut. We're waiting to get rained on right now, but there's about 500 police officers here from all the different groups here, but and Batman and the Joker, but none of these other Jokers.
Okay, so you're saying that you're not able to find anybody from Bloomberg's side, the anti-gun side, to show up to protest or to show solidarity.
We've made two rounds through the main area in the center and everything, and we did see a bunch of goats and sheep and a little thing. We thought maybe that was the sheeple, that was their group, but it wasn't. We were wrong.
Cute. Well, thanks very much for calling in. I think that's useful for us to know, because we don't always get an indication. Mayor Bloomberg has a tremendous machine that he directs, the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, the anti-gun group in general. They have a lot of funding, and they do they send out these emails. I'm on their email list, so I can kind of keep an eye on what they're doing. Sometimes they get frustrating, but I know they schedule these big events, and this one got quite a bit of publication, and yet, as far as you can tell, there's not anybody there that's standing on the side of those who would say, let's take away the guns, and that will help make everything safe.
Yeah, we didn't see anybody out here. We asked one of the news crews, which right outside here, and we asked them. They said they didn't know anything about it, but considering you guys wanted us to be 10 times as many people, we did meet that goal today.
It sounds very much like it. Tony, thanks very much for calling in.
Thanks, Mark.
We need to take a break here in just a few minutes, or just a few seconds. So if you'd like to be part of the show, please call the studio at 457-1290. We'll try to get your calls and your questions. Maybe you have a comment or something that we've introduced already, or maybe you have something else that you'd like to share or ask a question about. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show today, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get your questions on the air and try to do what we can to help you out. I appreciate Tony calling in from the green and letting us have a little bit of an idea what's going on over there. As I mentioned earlier, Mayor Bloomberg's group, the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, had set up a protest, a demonstration of some sort to show solidarity with the people in Aurora and remember the tragedy that had occurred there a year ago at the opening of the Batman movie, where a guy who decided he was going to do something evil did exactly that. They had set up and had arranged to have a lot of people theoretically show up at the green and had given a time for people to show up, and apparently none of them were available to be found. So we had some folks there who went to go set up and show that, we support the right to keep and bear arms and to do so peaceably, and that the best way to make sure that something bad doesn't affect you is to be prepared to deal with it and to try. I think one of the things that's really important that sometimes gets missed is that the best way to make sure that something bad doesn't happen is to pay attention to what's going on around you. And if there was something that perhaps may have been a problem in the Zimmerman case, not the legal case, but the situation that prompted it, was that he had not been paying complete attention to what was going around him. And there have been people that have argued. I was yelling at the radio last night as I was on my way home, as somebody was arguing that they were disagreeing that the facts of the case were what they were, and although the jury could only possibly have acquitted George Zimmerman based on the fact that it was self-defense. I mean, there was no question that it was his gun. There's no question that he had shot Trayvon Martin. And the only question then was it self-defense or was it not? A lot of people have also made a stand your ground case out of this, and we can talk about that after the news at the bottom of the hour. But stand your ground was never made in the defense of George Zimmerman. He did not make a stand your ground defense, and the entire defense was based on he was already under attack and he was defending himself. And that's an interesting and I think important point that unfortunately has been missed by those who have tried to make a case out of this and to say, we need to relook this whole question of stand your ground. The president did that some yesterday. Eric Holder has done it several times. And there have been many people in some cases on both sides of the aisle who have said maybe part of the problem is the stand your ground and that the law in Florida encourages these sort of things. There's quite a few statistics that indicate that's not the case. But in fact, in Florida, more of the people with dark skin, African-Americans, blacks, however, whatever term you choose to use. I personally think that we're all of the same race. We call it human. But I don't think this is a race question. I think this is a question of culture, of things that happen that we probably need to take a good solid look at. But stand your ground just says, I don't have a legal duty to try to run away before I can defend myself when somebody attacks me in a situation. We do need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour to go out to the news. We'll do that here in just a few seconds. Leon has called from Clayton and has a question about magazines, and we'll take that after we get back from the news. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290 right here on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. We're glad that you've joined us this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. Sim Trainer brings you this show each and every week, and we're glad to do so. If you'd like more information about the range, you can get that at our website at sim-trainer.com. If you haven't heard of our show before and would like to find out some of the other things that we've covered, you can go out to our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio, where you'll also find a link to our podcast so that you can have the shows downloaded to your web list, to your radio listening device, whatever that might be, an iPod or other kind of MP3 player, maybe even your computer. And you can also get each of the shows just by clicking on the link in the list with the summary of the things that went on during the show. Before we went out to the news, I told Leon that we would put him on the air and find out what he would like to talk about. So, Leon, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good show, as always.
Thank you very much.
I'm reading my gun magazines. I usually stock them up and then take them to a gun range or maybe to a gun show, but that's preaching to the choir. So I've decided I clipped out a good Dayton Daily letter about Stand Your Ground. It was printed a little while ago. I've clipped it out and zoomed it up and enlarged it, and I'm putting a couple or one or two in each gun magazine, and I'm going to start leaving them at beauty parlors and barber shops and different places.
That's an excellent idea. Obviously, you want to make sure that you speak with the owners of those establishments first rather than just leaving stuff there. But that's another opportunity then to convince or to just to talk to someone and engage them in conversation and maybe open their eyes a little bit to some of the things that they may not have thought of before.
Could I make another quick point?
Absolutely.
I've been watching MSNBC and CNN and Fox for several nights now for the last couple of weeks, and they're shocked George Zimmerman might get his gun back.
Yeah. The last I heard was that, in fact, the Buckeye Firearms Association is taking up a collection to purchase him another gun because Eric Holder put a hold on the return of evidence because of whatever the federal Justice Department has decided there is still in the process of deciding that they want to do. So
I donated $10 last night.
Outstanding. And for anybody else who would like to do that, you can either go directly to their website if you're familiar with it, or you can just go to sim-trainer.com, and at the bottom of each page there is a link to the Buckeye Firearms Association, and
yeah.
You can go out and contribute to that as well.
You know, if George Zimmerman is facing triple jeopardy, being tried three times for the same crime, so could we.
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly what's happening, and that's certainly that's not as an attorney. It's a little hard, but I think they would be talking about different charges as opposed to the same charges. They're looking. I think the biggest problem with civil rights charges or some kind of civil rights violation is that George Zimmerman is not the government, and that's who is enjoined against civil rights because that's who it is that the Constitution limits. So it's an interesting discussion, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot more about that. But, Leon, thanks very much for calling the show.
You're welcome.
And I think that's a great idea about taking the magazines that you've already read and passing them around and letting somebody else get a little bit of an idea of some of the things that's going on in the community. Let's go out and talk to Joe, who's calling from Xenia. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. I have a question and a comment. The question is in regards to guns and ammunition, handguns, most specifically, comparing the price and availability of a gun, shooting 22s or 9mm as opposed to, say, a 38. Which kind of ammunition do you think will continue to be most available, and what is the price comparison on those?
So you're asking me to get out my crystal ball?
Well, you're probably right. The magic eight ball.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult. We have naturally, anybody who's been following this has seen that the price of ammunition did spike for a while and the availability was virtually non-existent for some time. Back in January, the manufacturers told us that that 22 ammunition was going to be hard to get for a while because they weren't making as much of it. And part of the reason for that, they said, was that they weren't making any money on 22. It cost them more to produce the ammunition than they were selling it for. And my immediate thought was, well, sell it for more. Don't go out of business and don't just stop producing it because it costs you more to make it. Just don't sell it for less than it costs you to make it. You're in business to make a profit. You probably ought to do that. So that was part of the issue that they said. But the other thing is that they didn't want to dedicate the people to making the 22 ammunition because they had so much of a demand of the personal defense calibers. They also have contracts, of course, for those for law enforcement and military. That's one of the most common calibers. Of course, our military, most of the military sidearms are 9mm. There are some that are going to 45, but for the most part, the Beretta 92FS, which is the commercial model, the M9, the military model, is a 9mm caliber. So they have contracts for that, and a lot of police departments still use it. So they have to produce that ammunition, and even then, that ammunition that they produce for government and those requirements and those contracts is only a small percentage of the ammunition that they produce overall, like 5% of their total production, even if the government ordered everything that it possibly could. So it was the civilian demand that was driving things through the roof, and they are starting to get caught up. We're starting to see some ammunition appearing again. As far as price is concerned, the reason the price is high is because there is far more demand than there is supply. In order to control the supply, to be able to have some in stock at all, places that get some ammunition in keep the price up at what people are willing to pay. And that's just what supply and demand is all about. That's one of the many ways that people can control the inventory is by letting the price rise to the point where people are going to buy only what they need for that time instead of trying to stock up and buy cases and cases of it because this is not the time to be doing that. When there's much more available, that will be the time when the prices then again begin to drop and buying cases of ammunition. If you didn't stock up earlier, then surely buy a few extra boxes at that time. Maybe, cases, 10 or 20 boxes, depending on the size of case. It sounds like an awful lot of ammunition. But if you're someone who shoots regularly and practices responsibly, as you should, for anybody who is has a license to carry a concealed handgun, they need to practice. And doing so means that you're going to use ammunition. So a lot of people have stocked up on ammunition. I think part of what happened was that when things started to get short, a lot of people said, wow, I didn't get as much ammo as I should have when the prices were low. So I better get it now while I still can because, they were seeing what was going on in politics and they were saying, maybe I'm not going to be able to get this ammunition, and so I'd better get it now. So I think there's some of that that's starting to back off. So we are starting to see a little bit more ammunition show up, And in some cases, we have heard that the prices are starting to go down in some of the places. I don't spend a lot of time going out looking at gun stores to purchase ammunition. Frankly, I just don't have time to do that very often.
Right.
So I kind of depend on other folks like you who are out there to let us know what it is that you're seeing. What are you seeing? What is it that you're seeing?
I think prices dropped just a little bit recently, not like, you know, back to the level that was, say, you know, a couple of years ago.
Right.
But it's gotten a little easier. So that from that standpoint, it's good. I just was thinking it might be a trend that it would go back down because so many people have been hoarding, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Well, I don't know that so much as was hoarding, although, you know, there's certainly that possibility. I know there were some people that were stocking up. I'm not one that is a big fan of the word hoarding because that makes it sound like you're doing something that's unreasonable or unnatural. And, yeah. You know, maybe, your house is filled with ammunition. I know mine isn't, but I know there's more than a few hundred rounds. So
I have a Second Amendment, question, I guess you could say.
Okay, go ahead.
We have seen, you know, under this administration, a serious effort for gun control, and they're backed by the news media, which just tells incredible lies over and over again. If you follow the history, particularly of the Zimmerman trial, just the most insane things that are absolutely the opposite of what has actually happened. My question to you is, what kind of things can, you know, just plain ordinary people like you and me do? You have a radio program, for example. What can people do to counteract all this incredible garbage that they're throwing out there? And they're still doing it. This thing with the George Zimmerman being investigated, you know, for civil rights violations is just as far wrong and as far backwards as can possibly be. What can the average person like, you know, myself do to help counteract this?
That's a great question. Part of the reason we started this show was to counter the wrong information that a lot of people were hearing in the media. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this. Obviously, we also wanted to promote what's going on down at Sim Trainer, which I think is one of the best counters for it. Because one of the things that a lot of people get the wrong information about is that if they only hear it from the news source and they don't have any experience themselves, then that puts them, you know, they don't have anything in their own mind to counter it with because they don't have the information they need. I think one of the best things that you can do is when somebody has, you know, you have an opportunity to talk with someone about this and they seem to be buying into all of this myth that they're hearing, invite them to the range. Take them to a place where you know it's going to be safe. You have a controlled environment and teach them the basic fundamentals. Get them started off on the right foot. Maybe even come with them to a class like we have for First Shots class. Invite them to come. It's only $25, but you know, then if that's something that's too much for them, it's even worth paying their way to come. And then you can even come with them and just sit with them, even if you don't take the class, and let them get a little bit of a feel in a very safe environment. What is this whole firearms thing all about? I think when there is an out and out incorrect statement, I think it's our responsibility to correct the record. Writing letters to the editor is one way to do that. And I've seen several where people have done that and said, this is a wrong statement. I even found one in the local newspaper, the Dayton Daily News, where I thought that they had left out some information that was critical in a story that slanted the perspective on the story. And I don't think it was intentional, but by leaving out this information, it made the numbers look far different than they actually were because of something that had occurred in a particular month. And by choosing that particular month, which was, as it happens, the current month, or rather quarter, for the statistics, and not recognizing how that fit into the context and why those numbers were different, I thought that was misrepresenting the accuracy. So doing the best you can to make sure that the numbers and the statistics and the data that's accurate, and when it's not, call them on it and let them know, you know, this is something that's wrong. Write a letter to the editor. Try to get that published. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but at least you have made that effort. You can go out. Many of the articles are posted on the web, and so you can comment on the web as well and join forums and just talk with people. I think that's really the best way that you can do that, because the more information we get out, the better the answer is going to be, and the more people will be educated with the right information. That's, I think, the biggest thing. Joe, thanks very much for calling the show. We need need to take our last break for the hour, so we'll do that right now. If you'd like to be on the show in the last little bit, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad that you've joined us today. We have just a few minutes left, so let's quickly go back out to the phones, and we'll talk with Cal, who's calling from St. Paris. Cal, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Just to speed up the question as much as possible, the question about ammo shortage, a suggestion I had from a fellow one time, and I was wondering what the experts feel about using the airsoft and the similar type devices to gain some skills, and
sure.
Again, not to replace, but to augment and give you a lot more trigger time that way.
Absolutely, and it's particularly true if you can find one that is a very close model to the one that is your own. And there are some people that also use lasers in the same kind of way. So you're getting it has basically a laser cartridge that goes in, and when the firing pin hits it, it puts out a laser dot, and you get to see where that strike was. But the point is that you're getting time handling the firearm and doing all of those functions because it's the motion. You can also use snap caps to practice loading and charging and going through all of the physical motions, because that's where people usually get tripped up. It's not in the actual sight alignment and trigger control. That's actually the easy part. It's all that other stuff. So going through that handling, drawing, and then again, in that case, using airsoft helps you with that, and smooth trigger press. And as long as those are the things that you're focusing on, and then you can augment your live fire time with that, that's a great way to do that. Cal, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to John, who's calling from Lima with a question. John, welcome to the show.
Hi. I was wondering, I never heard anything in the Zimmerman case about that going before grand jury. And how would the Fifth Amendment apply to a case like that?
Well, he did not go before a grand jury. There was no the state prosecutor decided not to take it to a grand jury. The police had already released Zimmerman, and then the state prosecutor came in and decided that that was not appropriate and wanted this to go before a jury. Wanted this to have a. For there to be a trial. And so that was done, and the trial has then gone through. They've had the police didn't think they had a case to bring. Several people otherwise did not also. And whether maybe, this is speculation at this point, we don't know. And so I'm not going to try to relate what might have been her motivation. Let's just say that there was an awful lot of pressure to have some sort of something happened besides just to let him go. And they did that. They had the trial, and the trial is now over. And certainly the jury was not able to see that the prosecution's case was made, that they were trying to accuse him of second degree murder and then added manslaughter to that. And that what he did with legitimate self-defense did not rise to either of those. Now, could there have been ways that he might have avoided the situation had he been more aware of what was going on during that time? There's an awful lot of what ifs that might have been different that could have caused this to end differently, and we may be able to discuss that at some time. I've thought through some things, but I think it might still be a little early. John, thanks very much for calling the show. We're out of time. Stay tuned after the news at the top of the hour for There Is a Season with Bob and Gloria. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.